Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going. I just had a good time already today. I've already had church at home. You know, a lot of times before I preach, I just walk around the house and just sing to the Lord. And, you know, singing makes you happy. Even if you don't sing good, it's just good to sing. You just walk around the house and sing to the Lord, make up songs. And if nobody likes it, your dog, I promise you, will like it. How many of y'all got pets at home? You know, your dogs will go like, bow wow! Because the enemy's always trying to harp on you and tell you what's not going to happen. But God's going to tell you the good things that are going to happen in your life. And I played that funny video today because I want to talk to us today particularly about reaching people that are far from Jesus. You know, so many people are afraid to die right now. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. How many of y'all are like me and you're seeing people more afraid to die than ever? They're all afraid they're going to die. Come on, raise your hand at Sunset, all campuses. So they're afraid they're going to die. And the bigger question is, and here's what I want us to really, really get. They're not talking about this on the media. The bigger question is, what's going to happen when you die? Where are you going to go? There was an old Joe Cocker song that I heard because I'm not old enough to know this, but my daddy used to play it sometimes, and it says, you're going to have to serve somebody. And if we serve somebody, they were all high. He said, it might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. Nobody's talking about hell anymore, but hell is real. People always talk about, I'm going through hell. Today was hell. Oh, no, it wasn't hell. You don't know what hell is like. The Bible said that hell is where there's dying and gnashing of teeth, and the devil's there and demons are there, and that's forever. So make sure you understand that it's nice to have a nice life, but it's more important to make sure you're sharing your faith with other people. Now, Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 21, then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or under a bed and shut out the light? He says, of course not. A light is to be placed on a lampstand and to be, you know, something that people shine. Years ago, St. Louis, I had a little thing going with some of my teenage friends, and to stay out of trouble, we would pass out tracts all over St. Louis at the stadium there, at the Cardinals Stadium, way before I knew Jim Edmonds would come to our church or any other people there would come. That stadium, all over there, we passed it out. We passed out 150,000 tracts. The interesting thing about these tracks, they were not the $20 bill track that's like a fake tip. How many of y'all have seen that where it's like, you know, a fake 20 and then people, the waitress thinks it's a 20 and it's like, Jesus loves you. Don't do that. Give people a real 20 and tell them that Jesus loves them. But these were just a free track. And basically what I was doing is in my own little attempt, I was trying to reach people for the Lord. I wanted people to feel what I felt. And some of you are like myself to where you came out of something where the enemy bound you and now you have incredible freedom and you're happy and you're blessed and you're not addicted. And so we've got to make sure that our light is shining towards other people, that we're sharing our faith with other people, because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. The end result is everybody's gonna die. And when you die, where do you go? And this is uncomfortable conversations in an elevator, but it should be comfortable in our church today. Can I get an amen? Because we have a job to do. We have to do what Jesus called us to do. In Luke 19, we see Jesus said this. He said, for the Son of Man came to give you a new SUV. For the Son of Man came to give you a lake house. Am I getting that wrong? For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, we were lost, but we're no longer lost because now we have received Jesus. But the worst thing we can do is just go to church and not be the church because people are suffering and we have to go witness to them. Now, we saw right and wrong ways to do this. You can't walk up to people and go, you know, if you died today, you're at Starbucks. If you died today, do you know if you would go to heaven or hell? I mean, you know, people are going to go crazy. First of all, you're not 6 feet from me. In fact, a nut like you needs to be 12 feet from me. So we've got to say, hang on, we're just going to make casual conversations. It looks like this. If Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, then you and I should just have conversations. So if you're in an Uber or you're in a Lyft and you get in, the tendency oftentimes is just to get in, get on your phone, get caught up on your email. Or if you have no email, you're like, hey, I'm at least going to watch some TikTok or something. But you're not having any interest in the person who's in the front of the seat. And I'm guilty of that as well. But then I've realized through, there is no conversion without conversation. Everybody shout that with me. There is no conversion without conversation. So for me to like you and you to like me, we're going to have to talk. I noticed this about myself. If I'm in a room and there's like, oh man, we're getting ready to be in this room and this very important person is there, everybody wants to talk to that person. But then I'll get in a room and I'll look at another person and I'll go, why does nobody want to talk to that person? Because they have esteemed that person not to be important. But it's really weird when you find out that that person really was important. It's like, hey, that person owns Hudson News or whatever. Then everybody all of a sudden goes, oh, now you're important. Because people put a lot of value on the achievements or accolades of what your, you know, your resume looks like. But Jesus put every bit of his blood on the line for the worst sinner in the whole wide world. And it's time. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. It's time we do the same. So in an Uber, you start making conversation. It simply looks like this. How's business? Well, it's not good. It is good. They start talking. They tell you usually about last night I picked up four drunk girls and they puked all over the back of the car, but I cleaned it up the best I can. There's all kinds of conversations. One the other day, I was in a Lyft and the guy told me, he said, oh man, he's a foreign guy. And he was talking about, he said, karma is awesome. He said, there was two guys that were really, really mean to me, and they were really bad to me, and they didn't tip me, but karma is awesome because the guy left his gold Rolex in the back of the car. Karma. I was like, what a big tip. Now, karma, they're looking at karma. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever we sow, we reap. So if we sow to the Uber driver who you don't know, don't even care about, but you do have people that you do know and you do care about. And so you really love your daughter. You really love your grandson. So now you're thinking, man, I just need them to get saved. And so now you're trying to get them saved. What you have to do is the Bible said that we, one waters, one plants, another waters, and the Lord gives the increase. So one plants a seed. I'm talking to the Uber driver. Maybe his mama's mama's praying for him to get saved because he be stealing Rolexes all the time. So now what one plants, another waters, and the Lord gives the increase. Why is this important? Because our time here on earth is very short. Raise your hand if it's getting shorter all the time for you. Remember when you were 18, you're like, man, that guy's really old. He's like 50. Come on, raise your hand at all campuses. People do that. I mean, one of our student guys did it last night. They're like, yeah, I was talking to a guy, older guy. He's like 50. And I go, hey, 50. Ain't old. 50 is the new 25. Can I get an amen, right? So what we need to realize is that the older you get, the more you realize that you become very familiar with your mortality. So we have to get familiar with the world and say that people are committing suicide, people are dying, and so our main job is to tell everybody everywhere about somebody who loves everybody, who changed your body, and therefore it will change them. And then they will now become a Christ follower. Amen. Boy, I'm preaching good today. It's going to work in your favor. Verse 12. How do you think it is that if a man has lost 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, would he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that has gone astray? 99's at home. One goes away. He's going to go after the one. So Jesus is after the one. You and I have to be after the one. I hear people all the time say, hey, pastor, next year I'm going to go to Costa Rica and reach people for Jesus. Hey, in 2 years I'm saving up and I'm going to Singapore and reaching people for Jesus. And I'm fine with that, but I always ask the question, what are you doing here? And they go, well, I ain't doing nothing here. I said, well, please don't export that. Because if you ain't doing nothing here and you ain't going to do nothing there, just keep on doing nothing and stay home. But we have a job to do, which is to reach the one person that's next to us. I'm talking about that person at work that you can't stand. You don't even like them. And the Holy Spirit will tell you to buy them a Starbucks card. Tell them that I just wanted to give this to you because I really like you. You say, well, I'm not lying. No, you're talking by faith. You're believing those things that be not as though they were. You're like, he's a heathen. He's the one that Jesus is after, and he's the one that somebody else is praying for, and your seeds, come on, somebody give God praise today, of being nice can reach him for Jesus. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. People want to know that you're just nice. That you're normal. That you're normal. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm normal. Relatively normal. Luke 14:23 says, the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now more than ever, people are more receptive to Jesus and to church. And here's the reason why. 24 hours a day, there's a thing on the news that they're talking about that's going to kill you and going to destroy you. How many of you are like me and you're just kind of tired of listening to the news? You're like, I don't think I can take much more of the news because it's just really weighing me down. Raise your hand. I want to see if you're like, I'm just kind of done with it, right? Saying the same thing all the time. So what I don't want us to do is I don't want our church to be an alternate news source. Come here and we'll tell you what we think about COVID. We'll tell you what we think about that. We'll tell you what we think about this. I don't want to tell you what I think about this. I want to tell you what the Word said about you. And he said that you're blessed, that you're favored, that you're anointed, that everything your hand touches turns to good, and that the thing that was meant to harm you, God was going to turn it around for your favor. I mean, that's what I got to tell you. That's not bad news. That's not fake news. That is real good news. And that's why you come to church. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-huh. So we got to reach people everywhere. Romans 10, verse 13, check this out. This is a message that'll help you, actually, even in sales. Just learn to talk to people. Just learn to talk to them. Have conversations. I'm just so shy. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And if your child got away at the mall and you couldn't find it. I remember one time I had one job, which was to watch Ashton at Disney World for like a half an hour while the cult did some other things. And I had one job and I could not pull that off. I lost her at Disney World. And then she was just in and out of clothes racks. And then finally she appeared out of nowhere. And I was like, ah, don't tell your mama. But when I lost her, I immediately told the people at the front, we were in this big store, a huge store. I said, hey, I've lost my daughter. I didn't say, hey, I'm kind of shy. Hey, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. I wanted all the doors shut down because that which I love might have went astray, and I wanted to rescue her. So I wasn't worried about what I looked like. I was just now coming truthful with that story 15 years later. There's got to be a statute of limitation on this. Don't you agree? But my whole point is that Jesus loved you so much. Think about that. Come on. That he died on the cross. He didn't have to die. There was no reason for him to die. And so now he wants you and I to tell everybody with vigor, with power, with no shame in our game, everywhere we go, we need to be soliciting people towards God. There is a Bed Bath & Beyond on every corner in America. How many of y'all received a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon in your lifetime? It's not like a testimony. You're like, guys, you won't believe it. It's my banner year. I got a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. Everybody just gets them, right? So Nicole loved, years ago, Bed Bath & Beyond when we first came to Florida. We were kind of outfitting the house that we had, and I would pass tracts out or information to reach people for Jesus on every single car, because that's what I did at the stadium back in the day. And then later, I got a little video I kind of shot across from there here in Florida. Check this out. This kind of shows something. All right, the sun's kind of bright. It's hard to see, but the fact is, I didn't intend when they were buying billboards all over St. Louis that someday we would put them in West Palm. God had increased our territory. I certainly didn't intend on this one being straight across from the parking lot where I would always fire it up. It just happens that way. Okay, so the reason why I showed that to you was to say, if you're faithful over the little, God will make you rule over the much. While I was putting flyers out there, God's like, look at him go. He was probably up there in heaven, little angels going, go, white boy, go, white boy, go. Go, white boy, go, white boy, go. Go, David. Go, David. Right? And then eventually, all of a sudden now, opportunities came up for billboards, and there was a billboard right across from the lot that I was sowing seeds to. Then I met people who said, hey, I got that, and I saw that. Then I saw it on television. Then I asked God for a sign, and then there you were on that big old sign. And then I came to church, and I'm no longer a drug addict anymore because God reached the one that had gone away, and it's our job to say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it. Come on, somebody. Make them feel it because they're wanting help. Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls for help, God helps them. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? How will they know to trust if they haven't heard the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? That's your job. Everybody shout, that's my job. And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's what God does through the power of television, Facebook, social media, all that stuff. But what you can't do is assume that, hey, that's what a pastor does. That's not what I do. I don't have it in front of me now, but in Acts 1, verse 8, you can write it down if you're a note taker. At all of our campuses today, you ought to be writing stuff down because you need to get... If you want to bless God and you want God to bless you, you need to find out what it is God wants from you. So in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. I'll receive power so I can get a goosebump. How? I'll receive power so I can get a Cadillac. Yeah, 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 yeah. No, I'll receive power that you can be witnesses. So our job is to go around and witness to people, share our faith with people, if nothing else, to give them, you know, the card that you should, your car should be loaded with cards, because every time you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, you need to litter the parking lot. Every time you need to go to Starbucks, you need to litter Starbucks. Everywhere you go, you need to take Jesus with you, because the power of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you to deliver people who have looked for help in rehab and can't find it. They've looked for help in counseling and can't find it. They've looked for help in addiction and they can't find it. I'm telling you, it can only be found through the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior. Jesus is his name. Come on, St. Louis, give God hands today. I like it when you clap because it says, I'm into this. I agree with this. And I believe that God watches us when we go to church. That's why I like to have fun in church. Somebody told me the other day, they kind of sent us an email to the church being, I don't like it that he's having fun and he's laughing. He did this and did that. And I thought, man, that's the very thing I like about this church, is just having fun. So I'm just warning you, if you're watching today and you like to have fun, you need to get off this site immediately, because it is very, very fun. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages. Notice he didn't just stay at home. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. Every disease. By the way, just a side note, COVID was cured 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on the tree. Before you heard the word COVID, Jesus had already paid for COVID. And then whatever the next diabolical thing is you got that they haven't named yet that they name, you can be assured that that thing was underneath the blood of Jesus. And his blood is so precious and his power is so extreme. If you'll just give your life to him, he will set you free. And by the way, if you did die, you get to go to heaven. What? You have got to be kidding me. This is good. We went on vacation with the kids the other day to Saint something, Saint John, Saint something. I don't even know what it was. It was a saint. And we stayed, Nicole's got a lot of points and so on. And so we stayed at the Saint Regis. And we've read the book. Our staff has read the book, the Ritz-Carlton, the Ritz-Carlton Experience. And so if you're a business leader, it's great because it talks about, you know, ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen, talks about customer appreciation and so on. But this Ritz-Carlton never got the memo. And they were so mean, they were so nasty, and well, you can't eat here because of COVID. You'd have to get your reservations a couple months ago. Well, where do you suppose we eat? We don't know. I mean, y'all know that's not really good customer satisfaction, you know? And so we were in the hot tub, and there was a guy who's been coming there for 12 years, and he's a surgeon. And he said, I've been coming here for 12 years, and I'll never come back. He said, my little kids. He said, actually, that one was consummated here. We've been coming every year. He said, we ain't coming back. And I said, why? He said, everything changed. It's not what it was. It was a beautiful place, and now it's not good anymore. We don't like it here anymore. How many of y'all know that's not really what you want on your Google reviews, right? And so I'm just here to tell you that when you get to go to heaven, your review is going to be awesome. You're like, oh, you talk about ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. You talk about a beautiful lake. You talk about a street. These streets are fine gold, and crooks won't be there because they won't be chipping it, trying to take it to the pawn shop. It is going to be a wonderful, glorious place where you and I get to go, where our family are already there, and we're down here going, I hope I don't go, and they're going, come on, you're gonna love it up here. That's a great sales pitch for heaven right there. Don't make me take you on a tour of hell. It is not good. Now, verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Because, check this out, because they had fainted and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Wow. Right now, I see people so scattered because the church, they say, is non-essential. And they're locking up preachers and letting drug dealers go. It's the weirdest time in the world. It is where good is actually called bad and bad is called good. And so the Bible talks about this and people are scattered, but the Bible talks a whole lot about you and I getting our faith in gear and saying that we're supposed to go after the people that are scattered and say, you know what? We do have a shepherd and his name is Jesus and he is our soon coming king. And we've got to go to the highways, come on somebody, and the byways and compel them to come in. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise God right now for heaven, for him resurrected, for his deliverance, for his goodness. Thank God you get to go to heaven. And they think everybody gets to go to heaven. Disney told you all dogs go to heaven. I know the dog that bit me when I was a little kid, he's in hell. How many of you know dogs that need to go to, oh, I won't go there. Now, it says, verse 37, it says, then he said unto his disciples, check this out, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then Jesus himself said, let's pray that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest. So we can just say, well, I think it's safe to go back to church now. I want to get up in this camera. It's always been safe to go to church. It will always be the safest place in the world. Somebody ought to give me a thumbs up on that. You say, well, I don't know. I think Target's safe. You're touching little machines after people have picked their nose. This is the safest place to be. And if the Lord comes back, it is the only place to be because you will be resurrected with power and you'll probably be singing, it's going to work in my favor. God's going to turn it around. Church is the spot. It's the place. Verse 37 more time. Then he said to his disciples, truly the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So all over Palm Beach County and all over St. Louis County today, when you leave, you need to take a stack of cards, and that's your first step. You don't have to go try to get people saved. You don't have to try to lead them down the Romans road. You simply have to be nice and then invite and bring people to church. When you invite people to church, it changes everything. In my neighborhood, if I move into your neighborhood, the chances of your life being changed is highly likely. Just is. My old neighborhood where Nicole and I first, she started dating me. That's when she had asked me to marry her. This is my sermon. And there was people across the street that Nicole and I were working on. People next door that they're working on. And how we did it, we said, we love your Christmas lights. We weren't saying, your lights are really bright and they mess with us at nighttime. You celebrate that. And we witnessed to those people and changed their life in a huge way. Talking about Jesus and coming to Jesus. We moved out and bought this land that I told you about that we paid $165,000 for. And sold it for $1 million. Don't be jealous. Just happened. Why? Because maybe it was all those cards I passed out in the hood. I don't know. Sure wish it would happen to me. Well, the Bible said, be faithful of a little, be ruler over much. I've done a lot wrong, but the one thing I have been very public about is my faith. And the one neighbor moved in, and he only had like 3 acres, and we had like 15 acres on this side of the road. And he took his driveway and put it way up in about a half an acre of our land. Well, that doesn't set well when you're paying taxes on that. And I got really mad, and I was aggravated with the guy, and he didn't like me, and I didn't like him, I guess, but we didn't hardly know each other. But the Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself. And I thought, is that in the Bible somewhere? I don't know. I'm going to look that up. I'd just become a pastor a few months before that. And the Lord told me, just go over and tell him he's not going to have to move that driveway. Because we had sent a letter from attorney and so on, that you can't do that. And that you'll trade him some land that's really kind of junky land for that land just to make it better. And I did that, and he was so grateful. It changed everything. And then I felt like a humanitarian, so I'm like, I'm kind of Mother Teresa. I mean, kind of. Anybody ever done like, have you ever let anybody in traffic, and you're like, unbelievable. Have you ever rushed up real fast and didn't let anybody else in? And you're like, I'm not looking at him. I'm just being a demon right now. I'm not looking at him. Come on, raise your hand. Not looking. I'm not looking. So now it'd be nice. Now, years later, that guy, I won't say his name, but he and his wife show up at Sunset Hills campus where a lot of you are sitting and came up at the end of service and he said, hey, we moved from that place, but after we were so nice to us, we just started watching you on television, and we got saved. And I'm like, what? What? Unbelievable. So when I get to heaven, he died, by the way. So now he's in heaven because I moved on the street. Everybody in your neighborhood needs to be affected by you hitting their mailbox, asking them to go to church, taking them over some pie. Stop griping and complaining. You ain't going to live there long anyway. It's God's land. Go after the people who need Jesus. True story. Talking about winning people to Jesus. Real live application. I have 1 minute and 10 seconds to preach this sermon. Just so you know, that's not going to work. I love streaming because I can just go as long as I want. I drank half a Red Bull. It should burn off at some point. God led us to move into it on another street. Sunset Hills. After we moved from there, the next place we landed, three doors down, was a guy, his name was John, and he had a special needs daughter, and his wife was dying of cancer, and we didn't know it, but he found out who we were, and he started watching on television, and he walked up at the Fenton Church and said, hey, my wife is getting ready to pass away any day, and we were hoping that you would preach the funeral. We're your neighbor. I said, oh my gosh. And I preached the funeral. But he came and got saved. His kids got saved. Then he started serving at the church when we built our city, and he was always up there serving. And this girl at our church was dirt poor, and this woman served all the time. She was beautiful, but didn't have any money. Anybody relate to that right there? Come on, say, I'm pretty, but I'm broke. Come on, help me right now. And she was beautiful. She didn't have any money, but he had a lot of money on the street we lived down. And so now she just starts cleaning the church. He starts cleaning the church. They start in a small group. Next thing I know, they get married, she moves in, and now they're my neighbor. True story. Now, she says, I don't really want to live in the house that the other woman lived in. How many of y'all know that's understandable? Some of y'all like the greedy thing. My God, no, for real, she wanted to move, so they moved. When they moved, somebody else moved in that same house. When they moved in the house, they are the most influential attorneys in St. Louis. They move in the house, and they start watching on television. And then they call the church and ask to meet me. And he said, I want to meet you for 30 minutes. He met me. He asked me a bunch of questions. Then he gave the church a check for $50,000 and made me a custom-made suit. And I told Nicole, you didn't want to move in this neighborhood. My point is that the anointing that was deposited on that street went into that house. And even when the people of God moved out of that house, other people who didn't know God moved in that house. And because of the power of God, it changed their life forever. And I'm here to tell you that I've got good news for you. The devil doesn't win this thing. The battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours. I prophesy 5 years of grace and favor in your life. Go to church, serve in church, tell everybody about the church. Bet on the church. Give God praise today. Oh yeah. It's gonna work in your favor. God's gonna turn it around. Yeah, I like it. Oh man, I don't even know what to do because I really wanted to go to John the 4th chapter, and now I'm 2 minutes over and I'm just having so much fun. Some of you even who were like this when you came in are kind of like, so I'm seeing improvement. John chapter 4, verse 6. I'll make it really, really quick. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was worn out by the trip. He sat down at the well. It was about noon. And a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and he said, "Will you give me something to drink?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food. They had went to Chick-fil-A because it was not Sunday. And the Samaritan woman was taken back and said, "How are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Because Jews in those days wouldn't even be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Notice Jesus didn't worry about his reputation. He wasn't saying, "What do they think about me at work?" Too many people are worried right now. What will they think about me? Don't worry about what they think. Worry about what he thinks and do what his will is, not thy will. And then it all works out. Right there is where we take 2 seconds and just say, yeah. I agree. Now, the story goes on that Jesus talks to her, and he says, "Hey, why don't you get your husband?" She says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You speak well. You have 5 husbands. How many of y'all know that is 4 too many for sure? Jesus starts prophesying to her, but not in a negative, condescending way. He starts speaking prophetically over her life, and now she doesn't feel shame. She actually feels refreshed. Let's go to verse 39, John 4, 39. This is the big ending of this passage I want to share. The woman said this. The woman goes in and tells all the Samaritans in the village, and they committed themselves to him, to Jesus, because of this woman's witness. After she received forgiveness, she took the forgiveness that Jesus gave her. She just goes and tells them what Jesus did for her. And now everybody on her street got saved. So here's my question. When is the last time you have shared with other people, "Well, I keep my business different than..." No, you won't. Then you'll keep God out of your business. "I don't talk about politics and religion." Well, I think that's a great idea not to talk about politics and religion, but I think it's a great idea to talk about relationship. And your relationship with Jesus and what he's done for you is a tree of life, a fruit of righteousness that'll change other people's lives. So when you get to heaven, how many of y'all raise your hand if you want to go to heaven someday? The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Wow. So you might want to think about this. Yeah. So everywhere you go, everybody you see is a candidate to receive the life-changing resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You just got to put it on display. So a couple questions. When's the last time you brought somebody to church? Come on, our city, Ferguson, Weldon, Sunset, all them campuses, RPC. When's the last time you rolled up with somebody else in the car with you? When's the last time you had to say, "We got to leave on time because Bob and Margaret are meeting us there at this service"? If that's been a while, you need to change that. Because when people are at home crying for help, how will they get help? Except they have a preacher. And a preacher is not just one who's in a suit talking to you from the scriptures. A preacher is one who tells the story, who demonstrates a life change that happened to them, and they share it with other people. I want you to stand up with me, and I want you to feel that for a moment. I want you to feel that the local church is the heartbeat of the world. I have a couple questions. Everybody looking at me at every campus, raise your hand real high if you would say, Pastor, I know for sure that Jesus has changed my life. Raise your hand. Put it down. How many of y'all know for sure, and you would be honest, this should be everybody, that you are not as strategic as you need to be, let's put it that way, at sharing your faith with other people? You can put it in. We got to do it. There was a guy that I was witnessing to when I was a young man. And I told him about Jesus, but I kind of bumbled it up. But then he asked me later about it more and more. And then eventually, he received Jesus kind of on his own, just talking to Jesus because he knew Jesus that I talked about. And I remember the day that I heard that Jimmy was on Highway 55 in St. Louis and got hit on a motorcycle, and part of his body was in one spot and part of his body was in another, but I knew that his spirit had went to heaven. It's a good feeling. I tell you, literally, here's a good feeling. When I go to bed at night, there are going to be millions of people in heaven just because of Faith Church buying television time and not asking for any money in return. I'm talking about people that own strip clubs come up to me and go, I own the biggest strip club in America. I watch you on television all the time. Just a $100 million facility in Atlantic City. Would you come and pray for that place? And I go, Nicole's never going to let me do this. I'll pray for you, but I can't go to the strip club. I own the biggest casino in whatever, but listen, I'm here to tell you that because of the way we preach the gospel here, I don't say, don't you want to clean up? And well, you got to, and no. We point the finger this way so it makes people who are far from God attracted to non-judgmental Christians. Here's what we're not. Let's say what we're not for a minute. We're not a church that's like, well, praise the Lord. Me and my wife have never made any mistakes. Aren't you glad, guys? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. We don't fake it. We don't speak Christianese. We talk about authentic, real things in your life that you can apply on Monday that you learn on Sunday. And then we got to go share our faith and bring them here. Okay? Got it? Raise your hand if you understand what I said, all campuses. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, for every person that is at all of our campuses today, people that are on our online campus, maybe in a watch party, maybe with friends today. God, the most natural, selfish thing to do is to think about our family that we love so much and we want them to get saved. But for a minute, we're gonna be like a drone and we're gonna take it higher. We're gonna elevate above our family and we're gonna see other people that you love and we're gonna reach them. We're going to sow seeds in those people. We're going to pass cards to those people. We're going to text those people. Hey, you've been saying you're coming to church with me, but I want you to come. We're going to do everything in our power to rescue people and bring them to the house of God. And we are going to depopulate hell, and we are going to populate heaven with a good, glad news, happy gospel, loving Jesus. And God, we receive this commission to go forth and be witnesses. God, give them strength today, courage today. God, and convict us when we pass people on the road that we're like, man, we should have stopped and witnessed to that person. We should have turned back on the elevator and said, hey, wait one second. Is there something I can pray with you about? We're gonna be more vocal about Jesus and what you have done for us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand of praise. Come on, all campuses. We're almost out of here, but today there's a lot of things going on in the world, as you know. And one of the things that we're focusing and spotlighting today is Haiti. In Haiti today, with our help and the help of some other sponsoring churches, with Compassion, we came in. And since this recent earthquake, we and some other groups with Compassion have provided four million meals to people that were hungry. Give it up for yourself for doing that. That's what your tithes and offerings do. You know, when that first earthquake hit years ago, I was on the ground day two with a bunch of people. We were lifting off stuff off of people. And then we said it, I said it in my heart that we were going to do something great there. We did. We've helped them build, hospitals there now, medical centers there now. We've helped them, Bobby and Sherry, build subdivisions there. And so today, I just want you to take a minute and sit down and just see what your partnership is doing in Haiti.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.